Welcome to the 31st installment of Better Read, an experiment / series by Greg.org to transform art, related texts into a handy, entertaining, and informative audio using a computer-generated voice. In 1953, Marcel Duchamp curated an important show of Dada at the Sydney Janus Gallery in New York. It brought together over 200 objects from all the centers of Dada activity between 1916 and 1923. The exhibition catalog and checklist was also the exhibition announcement. It was a large poster designed by Duchamp, who said it should be crumpled up and thrown away upon entering the show. The poster / objects that survive circulate as works of art, graphic art, or rare ephemera. In 2019, Washington, D.C. collectors Barbara and Aaron Levine promised their Dada catalog to the Hirshhorn Museum as part of a large gift of Duchampiana, which went on view in early 2020. This poster was photographed shortly before the museum was closed by the pandemic. Despite containing texts by key Dada figures Jean Arp, Richard Hulsenbeck, Jacques-Henri Levesque and Tristan Zara, the catalog appears to have never been made available as a text. For this reason, Greg.org has published the transcript of the Sydney Janus Dada 1916 to 1923 exhibition catalog as a plainly formatted PDF, and the 212-item exhibition checklist as a public Google spreadsheet. Please use them as you like, and please bring any errors or omissions you find to the attention of Greg.org. One omission has already been noted. In her paper, The MoMA Dada Symposium in 2006, Catherine Crafter mentions that Duchamp's Monte Carlo Bond should have been excluded from the show because of its date, 1924. Indeed, it does not appear in the exhibition checklist, but, Crafter notes, it is visible in installation photos. It would be nice to someday see an illustrated checklist of this historic exhibition. Maybe whichever one of you gets on that can figure out how to handle the Duchamp Monte Carlo situation. Anyway, Dada. Dada 1916 to 1923. Sydney Janus. 15 East 57. New York. April 15th to May 9th. 1953. Dada, 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 Dada. Acknowledgement: the Sydney Janus Gallery wishes to thank Tristan Zara, Jean Arp, Charles R. Hulbeck and Jacques Levesque, each for their enlightening forewords to this catalog of the exhibition. We are indebted to Marguerite Hagenbach and Jean Arp for their untiring efforts in assembling the European material. We wish to thank the participating artists and the estates of the artists for making available rare works, and acknowledge as well the generosity of the following lenders: England, Edith Thomas, France, Anonymous, W. Arp, Gabrielle Buffett, Simone Collinette, H.P. Rush, Tristan Zara, Robert Valenkai, Nellie van Doesburg, Herda Wieschur, Germany, Anonymous, Carl Buchheister, Gallery Gerd Rosen, Edward Rodidi, Walter Spengemann, Switzerland, Anonymous, Marguerite Hagenbach, Carola Gideon Welker, United States, Anonymous, Eric Cohen, Catherine S. Dreyer Estate, Bernard Carpel, Josine Manson, Dorothy Miller, Sybil Moholy-Nagy, Museum of Modern Art, Kurt Seligman, Wittenborn, Schultz, Incorporated, Yale University Art Gallery. We also wish to express our thanks to Charles R. Hallbeck and Hans Richter for their assistance in preparing and hanging the Swiss and German sections. A special gratitude goes to Marcel Duchamp, under whose direction the International Dada exhibition was assembled, catalogued and installed. Dada versus Art. The attitude of Dada toward art is impregnated with that equivocal spirit of which Dada cultivated the ambiguity more or less willfully, and if the irrefutable, imperative tone used by Dada to impose its doubt is a proof of its own dynamism, it is in this very contradiction that one finds the richness of Dada's own nature. Dada tried to destroy, not so much art, as the idea one had of art, breaking down its rigid borders, lowering its imaginary heights, subjecting them to a dependence on man, to his power, humbling art, significantly making it take its place and subordinating its value to pure movement, which is also the movement of life. Was not art, with a capital A, taking a privileged, not to say tyrannical, position on the ladder of values, a position which made it sever all connections with human contingencies? That is where Dada made its anti-art declaration. But inasmuch as it was an expression of the individual, Dada accepted, even advocated, the use of the different plastic and poetic disciplines. If Dada partly made of this practice a Trojan horse to penetrate into the inner sanctum, it is, nevertheless, through art realizations that Dada's criticism toward these spiritual institutions can be revealed, as well as its device of a line of conduct and the generalized conception of vital phenomena. It should be noted, and this is a trait common to all its tendencies, that the artistic means of expression lose, with Dada, their specific character. These means are interchangeable. They may be used in any form of art, and moreover may employ incongruous elements, materials noble or looked down upon, verbal clichés or clichés of old magazines, bromides, publicity slogans, refuse, etc. These incongruous elements are transformed into an unexpected, homogeneous cohesion as soon as they take place in a newly created ensemble. To the collages and objects of Max Ernst and Schwiller's must be added chants introduced by Marcel Duchamp as a source of creation, i.e., broken glass and the ready-mades, sort of collages of a reality superimposed upon the reality of things which no longer need the confrontation with other objects to bring out the efficacy of the processes of transformation of the significance in images. It is a known fact that the futurists as well as the cubists have made use of certain forms of advertising, a modern phenomenon, as plastic elements or poetic values. Dada, on the other hand, made use of publicity not as an alibi, an illusion, nor as a material applicable to different aims. Dada actually used these forms of advertisements as a reality at the service of its own publicity. Schwiller's constructivist period, with all his originality, is an example of this conception of Dada. Moreover, Dada, rather than merely advocating the use of means outside of their intrinsic meaning, aims at the confusion of genres, and this is, in my opinion, one of its essential characteristics. Manifesto paintings or poems of Picabia, photomontages of Hartfield, simultaneous poems with phonetic orchestration, etc. While it is evident that the use of different materials derived from the cubists, if not solely the same reasons of plasticity which come into consideration in the case of Dada, the polemical meaning attached to the object is no longer descriptive or explanatory, but included in its own conception in the same way, to a certain extent, as Heraclite's demonstrations are actions belonging to an uninterrupted movement. The result takes the form of a sort of humor, neither white nor black, which is an attitude of mind, a manifestation of the true reality of things, a particular way of envisaging them. Dada never preached, having no theory to defend. It showed truths in action, and it is as action that what is commonly called art will, henceforth, have to be considered. Dada advocated the confusion of genres as one of the most efficacious means of giving some play to art. To this rigid edifice, taken also as play, to this mongrel notion used to cover, behind a sham disinterestedness, the lies and hypocrisy of society. One can therefore affirm that the meaning of Dadaist works, their value as examples, took precedence over all aesthetic or moralizing preoccupation. The confusion of genres was not, in the case of Dada, a sort of marriage between different arts, as it was for Wagner who, by juxtaposing them, left to each one its specific nature. Apollinaire's Orphism, aiming at the essentials common to all arts, did not go further than the creation of a new expression strongly impregnated with futuristic modernism. It is not in vain that Dada always claimed not to be modern, and yet far from declaring itself partisan of the old-fashioned, Dada tended towards novelty by a natural movement, but denied itself any formal novelty. If, for Dada, surprise, which Apollinaire advocated as an important poetic factor, became scandal, it was not to be used as an art formula but as an identification of Dada, scandal itself, with its modus vivendi and manifestations. Dada's scorn for modernism was based, above all, upon the idea of relativity, since any dogmatic codification could only lead to a new academism. In virtue of that, Dada did fight against futurism, expressionism, and cubism, declaring itself for continual change and spontaneity. Dada, wanting to be constantly in motion and transformable, preferred to disappear rather than bring about the creation of new pompiers. Confusion of genres was for Dada a postulate. It had to be arbitrary and left to the hazards of invention and disposition of mind. As yes was equal to no, order and disorder found unity in the momentary expression of the individual. One can see in this the aspiration of Dada toward an indubitable truth, which was the truth of man expressing himself outside a formula learned or imposed by community, logics, language, art, and science. Dada was making its way towards a kind of ethical absolute which, presupposing an impossible purity of intentions and sentiments, made its aim akin to those of the Romantics. By bringing an end to its own activities, Dada proved that, if the experiment was to be justified, its prolonged existence would have been the very negation of its profound nature. But even its end was only relative. Its growth into surrealism and beyond, through which its fertility in the spiritual domain was amply asserted, gives enough reasons for Dada's historic necessity as a reflection of the epoch as well as a link in the long course of the transformation of ideas. Tristan Zara, Paris, January 1953. Translated by Marcel Duchamp. For the Love of Dada. This is an article for Dadaism and not against Dadaism. This is an attempt, and not the first one from my side, to take Dada seriously and reject the stupidities that have been said against it. Dada was one of the great spiritual revolutions of our time. It was a real revolution of the spirit, of the mind, and of the soul, and it is this revolutionary spirit that has kept it alive and justifies this exhibition. Dada was no fun, and it has been thought of as fun only by the people that think man's fate is directed by comic strips. Dada's fun, and here I reveal a secret for the shirtless ones of the spirit, was a self-ridicule with the purpose of self-realization. The Dadaists were the discoverers of the new personality, and only the fact that they were a few generations ahead of their time made it impossible for others to understand them. Dada was a spiritual and psychological revolution whose purpose was to find the new man. With this purpose I wrote the fantastic prayers, Schleben, and the new man in 24 Dada manifestos in Zurich and in Berlin. Dada was founded by people who hated war, and they fought against the militarists, conventionalists, bourgeois within themselves. The Cabaret Voltaire with its drunken student audience was nothing but a symbol and a poor and negligible framework. Dada was a psychological and literary revolution. It wanted to change the world by magic, or better, by magic words. With this purpose I shouted my poems against and into the audience of the Cabaret Voltaire. Dada was not the invention of one person but a general revolt of the artistic personality all over the world against the shackling of the spirit and the threat against freedom of the creative individual. Dada was therefore against all mass solutions, all sociological solutions, and against all political solutions. Dada has fought for the rights of the individual against anything that could have suppressed it. Dada had been has nothing to do with Marxism, communism, mesmerism, pugilism, monotheism, monogamism, and other isms, even if they are on the official preference list. Dada is a conspiracy of magicians and does not necessarily have anything to do with art. But if it decides to go into art, it sides with the unconventional or an art that has nothing to do with the Sunday afternoon pleasure of the citizen, nor has it anything to do with the likes or dislikes of the art magazines. Dada, when it is artistic, is necessarily against the heavy contents of an ill-conceived romanticism. It is for space and time, movement, definiteness, and a form of spiritual aggression that is called transcendence by philosophers and theologians, arrogance by others, and, thank God, madness by psychiatric nondescripts. I was a Dadaist and I will always be one. I shall not care who is against me or for me. I shared the extraordinary experience of piercing the wall of stupidity that made the year 1916 ripe for the Cabaret Voltaire. I salute my old collaborators in Zurich and Berlin. I salute Hugo Ball, Emmy Hennings, Marcel Janko, Hans Arp, and others, names to remember, and I leave out the politicos who tried to benefit from the movement. There is friendship forever and there is hostility forever. Dada was so great an explosion that one needs to have the courage to explode others and to explode oneself if this is necessary. Dada lives. Richard Halsenbeck. Charles R. Halbeck. New York, March, 1953. I comply with your desire, dear Janice, to write you a few words on the occasion of the opening of the Dada show in your gallery. And like the actor who becomes familiarized with the role of the king, a tyrant, a criminal or a hero, I try to put myself in unison with Dada of 37 years ago. It is not easy, for I have changed a great deal and am ready today to believe in angels, and what was to me art at that time, seems to me today to be nature. But here is where my role already begins, for nature is Dada. What you see here is Dada. You also, handsome man, beautiful woman, you are Dada, only you don't know it yourself. Tomorrow Dada will have a different face from today, and for that reason will be Dada. Dada is life. Dada is that which changes, I would almost say the perpetual change, the eternal return, hieroglyphs. Dada is life that will transform itself tomorrow and behave differently from today. Dada is gay, sad, anti-art, laughter, tears, consistent, inconsistent, extremely simple, extremely complicated, practical, edible, heavy as lead, candy pink, square, venomous. All these paintings and sculpture, cigars, chairs, windows, tables are Dada. Even you, Sidney Janis, you are Dada, as were Mary Wigman, Duchamp, Picabia, Man Ray, Ball before the word Dada existed. But in the beginning was the word, that is to say in 1916 AD, a no Dada. Dada, in one word, is liberty. Every Dadaist can sing and say anything he likes without the risk of being hanged. Moreover, the Dadaist is sometimes just. Zora, Halsenbeck, Hoffman and myself were also Dadaists. It goes without saying that Marcel Janko, Hans Richter and Sophie Taube also belonged, and furthermore everyone in his inner self wants to be Dada. Dear Sidney Janis, don't for goodness sake stride about your gallery with the winged step of a troubadour. Your visitors will have eyes only for you and not for our Beaux-Arts. All is Dada, and Dada does not end in the Institute of Mummification where all is brown and the walls are all covered. Dada does not even finish in the Beaux-Arts Museum, where the brown masterpieces, of which the prices go up incessantly, cover the walls and bring to the owners of such brown objects a joy that approaches mental alienation like the folly of grandeur wakes in the dictator's bloodthirsty instincts. Dada is cheap and dear, like life. Dada gives itself for nothing, for Dada is priceless. Jean Arp. Basel, January 1953. Translated by Marcel Duchamp. The Dada movement is tremendously important. We live by it. Jean Van Heekeren. Dada may be considered as having two aspects, one enveloping the other, the Dada spirit and the Dada movement. The Dada spirit has always existed and will always exist, but through the ages and throughout the world, the men who possessed it are extremely rare. This is not strange when one realizes that the Dada spirit, as indefinable as life, though in the final analysis identifiable with life itself, condemns inexorably literature, art, philosophy, ethics, and reason, because it believes them ineffective, not only theoretically but also for the pretentiousness of the men who are their high priests and explorers. The Dada movement, which historically was born in 1916 and came to an end towards 1923, was the conscious, extraordinary, and paradoxically fruitful expression of this spirit, since life's manifestations are never identically repeated. Due to the diversity of circumstances, such a movement is, and will remain, unique in the history of thought and of art. It is exceptional that such a pleiade of individuals, whose horizons were so varied, should have joined forces even for a while in so unusual an affirmation. It was in February 1916, in Zurich, that Zora, Hugo Ball, Kjelsen Beck, Arp and Janko found the word Dada as the sign of their movement, which was to expand in 1918 after the arrival in Switzerland of Picabia, the latter having brought to the group the Duchamp Picabia spirit, as it was so rightly called by Pierre de Maussat, who participated in the movement, and by George Hounet, in his essays on Dada, a spirit extremely free and destructive of all conventions, a spirit born before 1914 in Paris, where, among young poets and painters, during the 2 years that preceded the war, an atmosphere of revolt against all conventions was in the air and was developing, particularly under the violent and stimulating influence of Sandrard and Craven, under the more discreet influence of Apollinaire, spokesman of the Cubists and of L'Esprit Nouveau, a spirit which asserted itself brilliantly in Barcelona and New York in 1915, 1916, and 1917, specifically in Picabia's magazine 391, and which in New York, where Duchamp and Picabia met again, combined very effectively with the interests of Man Ray at that time, as well as with those of Arensberg, reaching its peak in France as of 1919, after the meeting of Picabia and Breton, Zara's arrival in Paris, and the combination of these forces with those represented by the men grouped around Literature, the magazine directed by Aragon, Breton and Soupault, where Lautréamont and Rimbaud were particularly lauded and where appeared Les Lettres de Guerre of Jacques Vache, who died mysteriously at the beginning of 1919 and which had as collaborators Ellouard, Parrot, Ribamont des Sagans and Jacques Rigaud, the Dada dandy who committed suicide in 1929, and shortly thereafter Max Ernst, who arrived in Paris in 1922 after having played a large part in the Dada manifestations and exhibitions in Cologne from 1918 to 1920 with Bargeld and Arp, for simultaneously with the stages of Dada activity in New York, Barcelona, Paris, and Zurich, where the contribution of Dr. Serner and the activity of Richter in 1919 should be noted. Dada asserted itself very forcefully in Germany, besides Cologne, in Berlin from 1918 to 1920 with Jelsen Beck, Hoffmann, Gross, Hartfield and Beider, and also in Hanover as of 1919 with Kirchwitter's creator of MERZ, a word and movement corollary to Dada. The importance of painters in the development of Dada is of prime consideration, and it is probably in the field of plastic creation, because they are liberated from the meaning of words, that one can find the most concrete examples of the Dada spirit. Although, as Marcel Duchamp says, the Dada movement, in itself a metaphysical attempt toward the irrational, offered little possibility for painting, the Dada painters succeeded in creating a physical representation of the Dada spirit which they were able to materialize. This was a real feat, for naturally they felt obliged to renounce all the conventions of the plastic medium, and they set themselves resolutely apart from all the laws of the beautiful and the accepted values in art. The paintings, drawings, collages, and objects of Picabia, Duchamp, Man Ray, Arp, Max Ernst, and Schwitters, for example, demonstrate this clearly. Consequently, the proponents of destruction finally constructed real works which exist. These works possess an irrefutable character of originality since they bear no resemblance to any other produced up to that time and cannot validly be placed in any known category. But they are very much a reality, having precisely that undeniable common characteristic, to be Dada. If by their intrinsic nature they do not give any aesthetic satisfaction except occasionally they do open up NW vistas, with far greater depth, truly beyond the field of art, because they have succeeded in making a concrete thing of the irrational, in a way that visually questions the validity of everything rational, a certain shock may result from viewing them, a shock capable of startling the recipient out of the mechanical functioning of his intelligence, and making him grasp with his eyes, so to speak, the uncertainty of his accepted values, with all the consequences that may arise from such an awareness. Jacques Henri Levesque, New York, March 1953. Translated by M. D. Clement. Transcribed from an exhibition poster donated by Barbara and Aaron Levine to the Hirshhorn Museum. By Greg Allen for Better Red, a sound project of Greg.org, March 2020.